Ready? Okay. Good. Word to cloud.
Recording okay. In progress.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Shavuot Tov. You say that here this morning? Okay. So I thought this chabur would go in one direction, and then I realized probably around 1 in the morning last night that I was wrong. So instead, we're going to go in a totally different direction. I'll show you why I think I was probably wrong. And what I was thinking, or why, along the lines, and we'll go another way. So the Gemara tells us on Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Is that this week is Nun Vav or Nun? Oh, this week is Nun Zayin already.
It will be Nun Zayin.
Will be Nun Zayin. Okay, we got on to Nun Hey Amud Beis last week, saying at least we have Nun Vav in sight. In Maseches Yevamos. So sorry, Sam. We're learning Maseches Yevamos in the Daf HaShavua group here. So if you have, I didn't put the Yevamos on the sources here. If you have sources on your phones, I put the link up on the thing, but wasn't able to print them out. But the Gemara has a discussion here on Nun Dalet Amud Beis about the issue of Ha'ara, about the issue of what amount of relations needs to happen, how much contact needs to, or penetration has to take place in order for it to be considered an act of Bia, in order for it to be considered an act of relations. And then the Gemara gets into, and the Gemara learns out from this source from Rabbeinu Yonah, no relation that I know of, but he says that it's all learned out from the end of that section where it says, Ki kol asher yaseh mikol toivos ha'ele, that all that you do from all of these toivos, meaning all of the different arayos, all the different prohibited relationships that are on the list in Parshas Achrimos, and really, and Parshas Kedoshim as well. So they all get put together and all have the same halachos. So then the Gemara goes on where the lines become wide and says, where it talks about that the fifth wide line where it says Hamara bezachor mahu. So bezachor mishkevi isha ksiva el hamara bebehema mahu. So the Gemara says, how do we know that hamara, that this act where we don't have a full insertion, whatever hamara is exactly, but how do you? What about the story by a zachor? I mean, what about by a homosexual act? So would that be considered would that be considered bia? So Gemara says, well, yeah, mishkevi isha ksiv, that we see that Mishkav Zachar is compared to Mishkav Isha, so it sounds like they should be the halacha, and they should be the same halacha. El Hamara Behema Mahu, what about Hamara Behema if you would do it in an act of bestiality? So Amar Lei, Mein Inyan Lahara, the Ksiva Gabi Achva, Ave Achos Emti, Isabe Akeshma, the Rebbe Yonah, Teneu Inyan Lahara, the Behema, that because we have this, there's an extra limud sort of hanging out there, so because it's not necessary for those other arayos, because it's all learned out from the limud of Rebbe Yonah, so therefore we have that extra limud left over for the din of Hamara Behema, and therefore we see that Behema would also be have an issue of Mara as well. I mean, that would be considered an act of bestiality if all you did was Hara. Okay, that's the Gemara. So comes Tosos here, Tosos Dibur Masel B'Zachor, and says, hey, wait a second, why isn't Zachor and Behema also included in the Limud of Rabbi Yonah? Right? It sounds right. That's considered Arayos. It's on that list in the Parshas Achrimos. So let them also be included. So Mishum So Tosus gives three answers as to why I would have thought Mishkav Zachar is going to be an exception. So Tosus says, number one, Mishum Da'as Makora Ha'ara Ksiv Hanu Lo Shaykh Bahu Makor, because the context, the pasuk where it talks it, where we learn out Ha'ara from, talks in the context of the Makor, of somehow reaching the Makor, uterus, whatever is only a female part, so that's not going to be shayach when it comes to a zechor. Va'odaf sekinu bekra demolich, and also if you look in the psukim in Parshas Achrimos, so there's a separation. It lists all of the related arayos that are based on relationships, and then there is a break. It talks about the iser of molech, which I'm clear what that is. In terms of categorizing what molech is, and then it has these other sort of arayos that are not considered to be emanating from relationships. He says, okay, so therefore you see that they're maybe distinct from the other arayos. And also, mishum de zachor ubehema lo chashiv bia, de ein derech bia b'kach. Maybe you just say that zachor and behema, that's not really considered bia, doesn't qualify as such. De ein derech bia b'kach, ulhachi parakar b'miso, tzarech hazhara v'onesh l'shochi v'nishka b'zachor, afgad de biyama lo ba'ikra. And that's why the Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin, that it needs a separate limud both for the on both sides of the equation when it comes to the homosexual act, both the giver and the receiver. They both need to have their own limudim there, because we don't see that by all the regular cases of arayos that were listed, right? Those are all, we assume that both sides are going to be involved. I know the karka olam issue, but we assume that both sides are going to have the same prohibition. So the fact that we have to have a special limud to teach that that both parties involved are going to be included in the yisur, we see that somehow Mishkav Zachar is excluded from the regular prohibitions of arayos. Okay, so that is the Tosfos over here. So that then led me to think about, well, wait a second. The arayos are generally issues of relationship. We normally like refer to them as the illicit relationships. Well, there's a couple on that list, or there are a couple things that we have in terms of forbidden sexual relationships that are not include that are not really because of the relationship of the two parties, right? So Mishkav Zachar, Mishkav Behema come to mind. Another one is Nida, right? So Nida is that considered Gilei Arayos, Hilchos Nida? If one is Bo'ol and Nida, is that a Gilei Arayos issue? With all then that entails, right? So that then puts Nida as Yehorek Val Yavor, right? That then puts all the Abazraihus, all the other things, potentially, if you assume like that Mahalach, those are also all going to be Yehorek Val Yavor. That's already, so technically one can make a case that violating Harchakos is Isser Yehorek Val Yavor, right? So do we make that assumption? Is that true? And then the fourth, which is somewhat falling into that category and probably wouldn't have included it except for the fact that this was the most obvious direction to go in, is what about with a non-Jew, right? Is Bia Nachris, is that considered to be Arayos? That's not anywhere on the list, right? That's that's considered separate from the list from Parshas Achrimos. But Bias Nachris, the issue of having relations with a non-Jew, so that was the most obvious place to start for me because of the famous shita, the somewhat famous shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Hopefully, will become a little more prominent here. So Rabbeinu Tam, yes.
So you're categorizing arayos that don't stem from her relationship to you. Is that what you're doing? Doesn't
right.
Have to do with her relationship. So
Eishes Ish also,
isn't
Eishes Ish on the list? Not necessarily relationship to you. It could be that's based on a relationship issue, though.
Meaning Eishes Ish.
Those four are objectively a problem, right? Nanju, Ish, Behema, Nida are objectively a problem. That is based on a relationship.
Not a relationship to you. But
yeah, that's right. Okay, I'm leaving out Eishes Ish. Eishes Ish seems to be pretty obviously in the Arayas category. I thought of titling this year something along the lines of relations, forbidden relations with non-related relatives or something. but whatever. There is a shita of Rabbeinu Tam that is quoted regularly when the Horeg Val Yavar issue comes up, where he assumes that Bia Nachris is not considered to be a regular form act of Bia. So it is found explicitly in the Tshuvas of Rabbeinu Tam, in what we call the Sefer HaYashar. So besides there being Rabbeinu Tam quoted throughout Tosfos, there is a Sefer of Tshuvos. I remember coming across once upon a time a story about how it actually got put together, but I couldn't recall where, but there is a Sefer of Rabbeinu Tam, of Tshuvos of Rabbeinu Tam, where he seems to spell out that the issue of at least Nida and the issue of Arayos Bias Nachris is not going to be considered to be the standard case of Arayos. And how does he learn that out? He says, well, the easiest way to learn out is that there is a when a woman comes back from the mikvah, so how do you know that she went, right? How do you know that she's tahor after she comes back from the mikvah? So the easiest answer is she tells you, right? So she tells you that she's, so why is she believed? Why should she be believed that she went to the mikvah? So eidach hanema bisurim, except when it comes to Isser of Arayos, you need two eidim in order to prove Isser. So she was a forbidden relationship, and now she's not a forbidden relationship. So in theory, you should need two eidim to, right? So as much anxiety as women have now, right? Imagine how much anxiety they would have then if they would have to come back and be able to point to two eidim in order to witness this. So therefore, so Rabbeinu Tam draws on that Gemara of that, and he says, well, by the fact that we say, eidecha neman bisurim, when it comes to this, that means that it's probably not exact, like technically, like the same type of arayos as other things. So Rabbeinu Tam, the specific issue of Bi'ath Nacharis is found in Tosfos in Maseches Ktuvos, as well as the Tosfos in Maseches Sanhedrin. It seems like it's the same Tosfos, right? But the Gemara, in Ksuvos, it actually raises the back and forth that would make Tosfos, the questions on Rabbeinu Tam a little bit easier to understand. So the Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos tells is talking about why is it that if the Mishnah tells us that all women are that all marriages of Basulos is supposed to take place on Wednesdays in order that they be able to go to Basin on Thursdays. So why is it that we don't do that anymore? So the Gemara says, well, because from the time of Sakana and Elah, from the time of Sakana and onwards, so people stopped doing that. They started getting married on Tuesday instead, and nobody protested against that. And you're not going to get married earlier in the week either. Okay. For a different reason. So my Sakana, so what is this Sakana that the Gemara was talking about 10 lines down on that Gemara. So Ilei Madamar Basula Nisis Liyum Harevi Tihareg, right? Nagu Lagamri Niakri. Says if there was an issue that a woman who got married on Wednesdays would get killed, so then we would totally get rid of the Gezer. I mean, it would totally be gone. So Amar Rabba, no, it was just a sort of a temporary fix. Why? Damar Basula Nisis Biyum Harevi Tibal Lahagmon Tchila. So Rabba says, no. The issue is that if there was some kind of shmad isn't the right term, but the Roman governor, he made some kind of rule that he needs to sleep with every woman before they go ahead and get married. So he knew that all the women get married on Wednesday night. So he knew that he should show up Wednesday and expect to be able to find these girls there. So the Gemara says, "Hi Sakana, why is that a Sakana? What's the danger? Rather, that's an onus." Or I should have said, "Well, because of the onus, because of the rapes, so to speak, that would take place from this Roman governor." So the Gemara says, "Well, Bishum de'ikat smus de masr nafshayu lekatala va'asin lidei Sakana." He says, "Well, plus there were these tsinuin, there were these, I don't know how to best categorize it, there were these, from women, we'd say, that were very, that were ready to be moser nefesh and ready to die, rather to submit themselves to this hakman." So the Gemara says, "V'lidrush l'huda onis shari," so why don't you tell them that it's mutter? Just explain to them, right? This is the rite of passage. I don't know. You got to go ahead and do this first. So he says, "Well, ika prutus vika nami kahonos." He says, "Well, because not all the women were so frum. Some of them were not so frum, right? And they might have, perhaps would be involved in the act. Vika nami kahonos, or perhaps there were kahonos out there. I mean, there were women that were attempting to marry kohanim. And if that was the case, then they'd be prohibited from marrying the kohen." Okay. So, but the Gemara does seem to assume that, yeah, we'll tell them that it's mutter. Who tell them that it should be mutter. And the Gemara responds by saying, well, because there would be some other challenges that would come up. But clearly the implication of the Gemara is that somehow there's a mutter, it could potentially be permissible. So why could it potentially be permissible? So the perhaps more prominent answer is the second answer that Tosfos gives with regard to the issue of Karka Olam, that, well, she doesn't have to be actively involved, and which actually also came up recently, right, in the Gemara here. So she doesn't have to be actively involved, and therefore it wouldn't be involved in the Deokra. Rabbeinu Tam starts off by saying, no, he says, wait a second, why are we telling them that it's mutter? By the way, these are...
It's just the onus, then what's the mutter also? She's honest. We have no choice.
Well, she could not get married. I mean, she's putting herself into that situation by going through with the wedding.
It's not a guarantee necessarily that the Roman general could die on his way to raping her. I'm saying, she's going on with her life naturally, and then something's jumping in and grabbing her, and what do you want?
She should give up her life for it. Isn't that the question
of Tosfos? I think Alex is asking, well, it's not necessarily her choice, she says, do what you want, right?
This is a good thing. It's mutter. I'm saying, it's onus, you have to do it,
Right. Okay, I hear. I would add that this is also, I think, although I didn't see this explicitly, but I was not holding in the Ksuvah Sugyas, but she's married at this point, right? This is between Kedushin and Nisuin, right? That's the assumption that we have in those Sugyas, right? So she is married, and that's what we're, so she should just, let herself be out there? I suspect that there's some type of Valman going. If not, maybe that's the second answer of Karka Olam. I mean, Karka Olam is, I'm just laying there, do whatever you want. You can kill me, you can you can rape me. I'm not going to be actively involved. Okay, but Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the reason it's mutter is, right, isn't this an issue of Yehorig Valyavar? That's Tosus's question. V'gilei Arayis V'shichus Dama. V'teretz Rabbeinu Tam, the ain chayiv in Misa al Be'ilas Mitzri. He says, no, you're not going to be chayiv Misa for Be'ilas Mitzri. And the term Mitzri here, I think, is one of these censored terms. Mitzri means a guy, meaning a non-Jew. You're not going to be chayiv Misa for that. Why not? So Rabbeinu Tam says no.
It's saying a separate thing besides the fact that so iser for a Jew to or no yargo yaver iser for a Jew to be with a non-Jew. Not only that, but it doesn't violate other iser relationships. Like,
well, one second. Tosus is trying to figure out why it's not yehorig val yaver. That's the question. So Rabbeinu Tam is answering right off the bat, saying he doesn't. Sounds like it's not considered to be bia. Right, it's not considered to be an act of bia. I think that
right. Saying, even in regard to Eishes Ish, you're right.
Right.
Even in regard to Eishes Ish. Meaning, it's just if they're single.
It's not just saying which is kind of. But before you showed me Tosus, I thought the shad was okay. So if a pnuya goes and has bia with a guy, is that a yargo yaver? Is that a lav? You're saying no. It's a married woman. That's a whole other thing.
Right. Correct. So Rabbeinu Tam even goes there. Rabbeinu Tam is even going there. Yeah, but here's Rabbeinu Tam. The ein chayv in misa al bi'ila mitzri, right? The rachmano afkari lazari de mitzri. The ksiv v'zeramta susim zeramtem, based on this pasuk in Yecheskel that somehow equivalates the bia with a guy with bia of a horse, right? Umaisi rai the par, and he brings a proof to parak v'parak ben soro mor. The fact that the Gemara asks Maseches Sanhedrin ha Esther far hesi havi, right? The Gemara asks how could Esther been with Achashverosh? Wasn't that in public? So what does the Gemara not ask? The Gemara does not ask v'ha parak v'ha Esther gilei arayas havi. Why didn't it just say simply Esther was in violation of Gilui Arayus? Why was she allowed to do that? Mashma demishum Arayus lo hava mechayvin. That because if it was only that because if it was only Arayus, she would not have been a problem. Mitochach hichta Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam, it sounds like Lamaisa lavo Yisrael shehimira uva aleha ovikochavim. That a Jewish woman, right? Shemira dice that she became went off the derech, right? And then a non-Jew had relations with her. Lekaima the oso obe kochavim kishniskayer, right? So then life goes on, and she becomes more religious, and he becomes more religious, and he actually is megayer with her. So is she allowed to then marry him, right? After he converts, so Rabbeinu Tam says yes. Right, because even though there generally should be an isser of isser leboel, right, there should be an isser a woman who has an affair with another with a man. So she's even if she divorces her original husband, she's not allowed to marry that man. Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, but this didn't count, right? This didn't count as bia, and therefore she would be allowed to marry him even after he converts. And therefore we wouldn't say echad lebal v'echad leboel when it comes to bias mitzri. Because it's comparable to Bias Behema. Now, Tosfos then asks a whole host of questions here, starting from the next line in the Gemara. Because the next line in the Gemara is, but there are prutzos, right? Right? But wait a second, implying that, then why would these prutzos get in trouble, right? It should be considered it should be considered not an issue. So there is a Pnei Yeshua who says explicitly what he thinks. Oh, that's right. I don't have the star here. Just right on the on page number 3, right? So there is a Pnei Yeshua that says explicitly, right? El de'ikr kavanas Rabbeinu Tam nirad de'kevan she'ein chayv and misal bias ov kechavim v'lo havi b'chlal mos yumas hanoi fano efes im kein lo havi b'chlal gilirai. And therefore, it's not included in Gilei Arayos, and it's based on this idea. And therefore, and Benhidi Isha, he says, but wait a second. For very good, the guy is going to be called an animal, but women are chayiv for having bia with animals too, right? So why is that okay? So Haydn Megzeris HaKasav B'Olam She'en Zeh B'Chlal. He says, but that's a rule. That's Megzeris HaKasav. That's just that's out there, and therefore we're not going to make that comparison. So that he seems that's what he suggests is the Shita Rabbeinu Tam, and then the Pnei Yeshua on the page 4. So he goes through the questions that Tosfos asks, and then some. and defends it and suggests that this idea of pritzusa that Rabbeinu Tam would just say, it's only din derabanan. And I, what about the idea that Esther was not allowed to go back to Mordechai? So Rabbeinu Yeshua says, it's also derabanan, right? That Rabbeinu Tam would say all of those are shitos derabanan, and you don't have to worry about that. So this is where I was thinking the last couple of days. I was like, so that's very interesting, right? So according to this Pnei Yeshua, and according to that understanding of Rabbeinu Tam, what should we do with regards to, so he's saying it's not considered Yehorig Val Yavar to have Bia with a non-Jew, because the Bia non-Jew is compared to a behema, right? Behemos and Zachar also seem to be put together in this Gemara in terms of Tosfos kind of saying that this is not going to be included in Arayos, and Nida also is sort of not in this category. That's what pulled us over here. Maybe all those things would not be considered Yehorig Val Yavar. And maybe all of them would not be considered to be the standard issues of Arayos that we normally speak of with regards to the Arayos that stem from Kurva. So, I don't know. I still think that if I would ask Rabbeinu Tam, what did you mean? He might actually agree with me, but no one else seems to agree with me. Right? All of the, except other than behemos, other than the issue of animals, what goes through the Rishonim, I was not able to find anyone that takes this
from,
math.
From what? From the guy to Anita, let's say? Is that what you mean? From which issue?
Right, that all four of those should not be considered to be Arayos,
well,
yeah.
Well, hon, is there a different Anita, let's say, your Chayv Karis? Is a Chayv Karis if...
Yeah.
If you're Bala Anita.
Right.
So even if it's not Yehorig Val Yavar, so you can't extrapolate from a guy where he's saying there's no Chiyav Misa to, let's say, Anita, where there is a Chiyav Karis, right?
Well,
according to this, it almost sounds like there's no Dindo Reisa, that you can't be Bala Anachris.
But what did he compare it to? He compared it to Behemos, right? Mishkav Zachar. Right, and compared to and Behemos is then compared to Mishkav Zachar. Right, so how did I pull the Nida issue? And Nida and the whole source for Avinu Tam is based off of Nida that Eidach Haneman Bisurin. So why would it be Eidach Haneman Bisurin? So Avinu Tam would shrug and say, well, it's not an Arayah.
But that's just you don't have to call it an Arva, but it's still a Chiyav Karis. It's still a very bad thing. It still seems much worse than being Baal Anachris. Being Baal Nida, according to Avinu Tam, seems much worse than being Baal Anachris. Because it's clearly a Chiyav Karis and an Isser Daresa Benida.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even if you're saying it's not an Erva and it's an Eda and it's an Emma Bisurin, but being Baal Nachris, according to this, it sounds like it's saying there's not even an issue Daresa, it sounds like, right? Isn't that how you're reading it? There's no Isser Daresa to Baal Nachris?
Would that mean that there is none? Maybe.
Or that it's not the same level. They could be Stam Lab.
Yeah,
because he would be over.
Fine, but still, there's no Chiyav Karis, though. Still a big difference.
Okay. But the fact that he's using that language and traveling with those, comparing all of those categories, so that led me to believe that maybe one could distinguish between related Isurim versus non-related Isurim, particularly when with regards to non-related Isurim, there isn't actually an effect. I mean, the Gemara, when it learns out the issue of Yehorig Val Yavar when it comes to Arayos, so the way it seems to be learning is because of the effect that it will then cause. That's why you're allowed. That's the lima that it learns out. Because when you murder somebody, it causes an effect. This also is going to then affect the others, and therefore you're allowed to kill him rather than succumb to that issue. So these four is not. It seems like there isn't an effect. Now that might not be true, because for reasons that it might not be true as we go through them one by one. Yeah.
Yeah, has
what's your name, by the way?
Yaakov Rubenowitz.
Ah, okay. Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Joshua Levison.
Oh, okay.
That's me.
Got it.
So how does that fit with the Gemara and Daven and Dalot Aleph, where they first started trying to learn that Ara is prone to all other Rios, and they tried to bring a Binyanav from Nida to the rest of the Rios?
Right. So I think he then, I think somebody makes that comment. Maybe it was tucked within the Pnei Yeshua someplace. It might be wrong. That's actually the different limud of Nida. That the term it's not from Nida itself, but rather from the terminology of Nida used elsewhere. I think that was the approach that was given. But yeah.
Okay.
That the term Nida is elsewhere, and therefore it's extended to there, not necessarily from the issue of Nida itself.
So
then you're cutting it off from the source. No pun intended. But yeah,
right.
Okay.
Right, but it's not. Isn't that just how it darshan? But it doesn't need to refer to the actual iser, which you're over.
Meaning, isn't that drasha referring to the actual iser, anyways? Yeah.
Cause of one of the arayos.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hear. I mean, you could kill me with kashas, and that could be what's bothering all these people, right? Because as we go to source 4, 5, 6, 7, so they do touch on parts of it. So there is a on page number 5. There we go. Page number 5 is actually from the Chidushi Haran. I realize it's not a site. Chidushi Haran, Masechta Sanhedrin. So there also goes through the Avodah Zarah, Gila Rice, and Shvichas Damim. And he does make the comment of Lefit Hamzeh about 8 lines into that Dibur Hamaska, about 5 lines from the bottom on the right column. So there he says Im Yomru Lo Ba Hakonas Otara Kivan She'ena Lo Pcham Yavar. So because, of course, all of the issue of Arayus, all the issue of Yehorig Valyavar when it comes to Arayus is learned out from a Nara Hamurasa, right? The fact that Latzilin Benafshon, that she's allowed to save herself from succumbing to this act from him by killing him. So the ein habehema b'chlal, but the behema is not going to be included in that. So at the bottom here, In the footnote here, he does point out, Achin Chasam in Chaschinuch Sham, footnote number 97, Chasam in Chaschinuch Sham, Os Chafav, Denir, Dedafka, Al Manal Kohen Gal, Vechadom, Dehavi, Chavi Laban, Val Nida, Dehi Chayevis Kareis, Afal Gav, De Tafsi Bakadushin, Yehorig Val Yavar. Right? So, Min Chaschinuch at least, and he, right, Min Chaschinuch is where I went for, like, hope on this, and Min Chaschinuch, like, shoots them all down. Mitzvah, he can't fight, he's not budging. Right? So he says Nida is going to be an issue of Yehorig Val Yavar. Behema is a possible exception. I think that might be the only one that I can actually find in Rishonim, that Mishka Behema might not be Yehorig Val Yavar. The Ritva and Maseches Psachim, the same Gimel Averus Kamurus issue, also appears in Maseches Psachim. And there, the Ritva makes the comment first. I got 3 pages of Ritva here. It was sort of unfortunate for copying purposes how that worked out. But on the right column, he says Yeshlom for Hesu Rai Vechi Haygavna Gilei Arayosu. He says Vafal Gav Yisrael Habal Goya Lav Gilei Arayosu. Even though Yisrael that is Boel a Goya, that's not considered to be Gilei Arayos. That's his suggestion. Yeshlom for Hesu Rai Vechi Haygavna Gilei Arayosu Venera Galav Bishas Maisa. Right, the issue of Shari Kanaim Pogimbo. The fact that we see Kanaim is Pogimbo, so therefore we would assume that it's Yehorig Val Yavar. The Maisa Shahaya Bechol Makom Lahanas Asmahu Vishlo Lahavir. And that was the Maisa Shahaya Bechol Makom Lahanas Asmahu. Right, the action that took place. So that was for Lahanas Asmo, and wasn't to cause them to go off the derech. Right, and it says in the bottom here Vachin Divrei Haramban Ran Muke Yosef etc. That the issue of relations with a non-Jew is going to be considered Gilei Arayos. And on page Tzav Tzadi Dalet, which is the next page, towards the bottom of that, it's the same Ritva, but later on, there he says at the very end, he says, "Vim shamalem afil b'chadri chadar madarim farsim mifnei shematzu." Oh, I'm sorry, I went on the wrong. I didn't turn my page. He says here, "V'chein Yisrael haba al hagaya daha k'noyim pogimba." Right, uva al zacher nami ika misa v'tilka zacher chashiv kfira. Right, that Boel Zachar is also considered to be a Chiyuv Misa, and therefore it's going to be also on this list. V'lafuke haba al habehema. As opposed to that, Obas Yisrael she'amru lahavdik gai ala deleika takala, acherim v'lepa pagam vlad. Or a Bas Yisrael, where there we might distinguish. I mean, the Ritva here is distinguishing between a Jewish man on a non-Jewish woman versus a non-Jewish man on a Jewish woman. And it considers the Jewish man on the non-Jewish woman to be considered worse. That's the Kanaim Pogimbo example, and I think I saw someplace around the idea hovering of, well, because there the kids aren't going to be Jewish. I mean, by the woman, so the kids are going to be Jewish, so maybe that's perhaps what changes the equation. But the man going on the woman is considered to be Gilei Arayos. Maybe the Jewish woman with the non-Jewish man, maybe that's the saving grace that Rabbeinu Tam brings along. Is he actually quoted Lehalacha? So Rabbeinu Tam seems like he doesn't quite make the there I am. As we get towards the intervening time, seems like he doesn't quite make the grade. There is a in Kufnun Zion, which is the Yehorig Val Yavor Simon, and that's why I brought out that was the other Shulchan Aruch that I brought out. Darn. That's okay. I'll make it out here. Towards the bottom of page, right, it goes on the bottom of one page to the top of the next page. He says, "Va'ovi kochavim haba al bas Yisrael," a non-Jew who is Boel a Bas Yisrael, eno bichlal gilui arayos. So that's not going to be considered to be gilui arayos. However, right, says says the Shach at the bottom there, Shach Yudalid, Dafka Pinuya, Aval Ishes Ish, Gilei Arayos, Mamishu. But if it's an Ishes Ish, that's Mamish considered Gilei Arayos. And he says, Va'afal gav the Dasar Beinu Tam da filu Ishes Ish Nami. And even though Rabbeinu Tam seems to hold that even an Ish, yeah, it's the sideways one, that a filu Ishes Ish Nami, Bechol Makom Ein Kach Das Kola Poskim. That's not what everybody Paskin's like. So Rabbeinu Tam does make it onto the page, but only in only as a straw man, not making it on as a din lahalacha. And in fact, so then I was able to dig up a Nod Yehuda, where the Nod Yehuda. Talking about the new shul, the alt new shul, etc. So the Nod Yehuda has a tshuva where he describes, and that is on sort of, it's quoted in the Piskei Tshuva here, but the question is not there. The Nod Yehuda, Evan Ezer in Marduri Tinyana, Evan Ezer Simon Kuf Nun. So he has the story of a person who Isha Shemira Ubaila Meis Acher. Shemira Ubailas Meis Achar Shemira, that a woman went off the derech and left her husband, and the husband dies after she had already gone, and then after the Misa Sabal, after the husband dies, Sunises Lenachri B'nimusein, that she goes ahead and marries this non-Jew. It seems like from the way the context of the question that she had been already hanging out with before, right? So she was with this non-Jew, her ex-husband dies, and now she goes ahead and marries him, and she was with him for 20 years. Vishum Nasa, right? Nasa Lavo Lashuv Ladasi Hut Yadus. And then she comes back, she wants to return after 20 years, right? But meanwhile, her original husband has been dead for 19 of those 20 years, right? So he's dead already. So what's the question here? Varchika Nidud Laeretz Acheres, Visham Nisis Laish. So she goes off to someplace else. And she marries this. She marries another man, right? So now she marries a guy. The shuv achar nisu, and then after the wedding, niskara, she remembers ki be'es shemes baila nishar ach katan, right? That she remembers that at the time when she was married to this original husband, he had this little brother that was born already at that time. So now she wants to know, am I chayev to, and then he continues on and says, and finding this brother is going to be impossible. She's not going to be able to go to, he's in some faraway country. She's not going to be able to go to him. He's not going to be able to go to her, right? It's a mess, right? So is there any potential heter for her to stay married to this, to this guy that she is currently marrying to? So
they didn't have kids or something.
Right. So she didn't have a kid with the original husband. She goes with this non-Jew. She marries this non-Jew. She returns 20 years later. She marries another Jew, and now she says, "Hey, wait a second. Maybe I'm chayiv in yibum." Right. One of her classes. Right. So she learns this concept of yibum. It's like gevalt. Right. Doesn't that apply to me? So the Nod Yehuda points to, and
let's just put the question aside a second. It's a general question. If a person finds out that her husband 20, 30 years earlier, whatever, had a little brother, and she has no idea, is she allowed to get married? That's the question, basically.
Yeah, what is the relationship with non-Jew have to do with it?
Of course she has to.
Well, so, yeah,
right. So how's this any different?
No, because she was a moomer. She was a moomer at the time.
Very good. Someone did some chazara in Hilchos, in Maseches Yevamos.
She was a moomer? We talked about where the brother was a moomer.
Right, it's Machlokes, but not the chayv and the moomer anyway.
So Nod Yehuda is not matir, right? At the end of the story, so you can see that in the Piskei Tshuva on the page. At the end of the day, he goes through a bunch of pages here, and he's not matir this, but he suggests a potential sfeik. He says, number one, he says, right, there is a Gemara in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Yud Aleph that does discuss the issue of a sota. Now, what about the guy died, right? They didn't have children. He dies, and she was a sota at the time. So perhaps she is not going to be chayev in yibum or chalitza, and potentially she's not even going to be chayev in and even her tsaros at that point are going to be exempt, right? So why is that? Based on the issue of tuma. Now the Gemara never fully embraces that idea, and if it's only a suffix, the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says at that point you're going to be chayiv in chalitza, but you're going to be chayiv in chalitza, but because of the suffix that maybe she was prohibited to her husband, you're not going to be chayiv in yibum. So the Gemara here, so the Shulchan Aruch, So Shulchan Aruch passes here, and Ibn Ezer Kufay and Gimel Sif Yud Aleph. Mishazinsa Ishto Tachas Ba'edim, a Tachta Ba'edim Uvratzon. Right, Umeis Belo Zera V'Nafnu Lifnei Achav. Right, so that somebody who is Mizana with Edim. Right, Uvratzon. So there were actually Edim that saw it. So what is the Shulchan Aruch setting up here? That it's a Din Farhesia. Right, everybody knows this actually happened. Right, Umeis Belo Zera and V'Nafnu and he dies and doesn't have any children. V'Nafnu, so she now falls to his brothers. So Dina Kedin Erva, she's considered an Erva. V'Hi V'Tzarasa Peturos Michalitzu Mehayibum, and she and her Tzaros are all Pater from Chalitz and Yibum. Avalim Safik Zinsa Imlav Hicholetzus V'Lo Misyavemus. But if it's a Safik Mizana, Safik whether she actually did that act, so then it's going to be an issue of Chalitzus V'Lo Misyavemus V'Tzarasa Ochalitzus V'Lo Misyavemus. Same thing with the Tzar. However, says the Rama, that the Ravid argues, this is based on Shitas Rambam, the Ravid argues and said, no, she is going to require chalitza, and therefore in the case where a woman was shehimira, that she, in our case, right, even though she was vadai zinsa, tsarasa tzricha chalitza, the tzara is going to require chalitza, or if she's a Baal Tshuva, she's going to require chalitza as well. Right? So another Yehuda says, well, that's the Ramah, Chumar of the Ramah, so we're going to have to be a Machmer for that. Then he goes and suggests, and this one was wild to me, he says, but wait a second, here she is married, right? She's already married. So what does the status of her marriage do to her relationship with the chalitza? So he suggests, this is like, you know, Part B of Marduri Tinyana of the Chabura. So I didn't have a chance to go through this so well. But he suggests that maybe that would then make her an erva in her own right. Meaning that if a Yevamah, you guys have been learning Yevamahs all year, if a Yevamah Lashuk goes ahead and goes and marries another man, is there any tzad to say that she's going to be putter from Yibam and Chalitza because of the din that now she's an erva based on the fact that she's a Kala? But she's married to somebody else. Right? You come across this?
No.
So nobody would suggest that as a tzad.
We saw it's
Gennai.
Yeah,
it's Gennai. Right?
What?
Let me say it's a Gennai that she has to go back and pretend like she's married to the Yom again and while she's still married.
That's where we're not sure. That's where it's something that's not like. I hear she's Vada Zakuk and Yibam.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would be Asa the Baal and Asa the Baal, just like if she was engaged and she was in this.
So I don't know about that. I mean, the whole premise of the Sota case is that she's Usr Labal, and that's perhaps is why she's even exempt in the first place. I mean, I'm not sure you would say that Usr Labal would then reject her from a potential Yavam. And she goes and such certainly by mistake, right?
Let's say she decides I'm a Mizana Tachas to Yavam before, you know, between after the death, but before the
Chalitza.
Before Chalitza. Which, and then she said, okay, and now I'm ready for Judy Yibam. Would you say that's okay?
Okay is not the best term, but we would say, I don't think we would say she was Asr Liyavim. I don't think so. I think the issue of Vinitma is a specific Geras HaKasav to an Ashish Ish, I would think. I'm not, you know.
Is the Shulchan Aruch talking about she's Zinsa Stam or with a Goy?
The Shulchan Aruch is talking about Zinsa Stam, yeah.
Ah,
very good. Yes, right. That's what I was thinking. So another Yehuda suggests you put those two together, and you have a sveika to be matiher. But ultimately, he rejects it. He says, you know, we're not going to rule that way. I didn't figure out exactly why he rejects it, but he rejects that. And at the very end, he quotes the issue of Rabbeinu Tam and says, oh, and by the way, because it's Rabbeinu Tam, it would end up being a chumrah, right? Why would it be a chumrah? Because now, if she is engaged to this, if she was with this non-Jew the entire time, right? So maybe that doesn't even count as B in the first place, in which case, therefore, she would be stuck with the Yibam, and therefore, Nodri Huda concludes, and that the conclusion, at least, is found in the Piskei Tshuva on the bottom here in Ibn Ebn Ezer. Therefore, he concludes that he doesn't see a way to be matir this, and she would have to at least separate him from him and go and track down this this younger brother somehow and do chalitza with him. I would just add on, if I have...
She's mutter afterwards. To
potentially she could be mutter. I think I don't think the issue that I don't think there's an Isra Labal Isra Labal issue except for with your husband.
I hear
the question, but I don't. I don't think so. I mean, you can. You know, these aren't generally the shilas that come across my desk, so I'm not completely holding. But that is I think Isra Labal Isra Labal would only be an issue by Ishas Ish. I would just add in, because this is Parshas Chukas. It actually is a fascinating insight that Rav Salvechik has in his one of the forget the title of it. He has a piece. One of the books that were published actually while he was still alive. So he has a drasha about chukos versus mishpatim, where he says that when it comes to that, if you would ask a regular person, just call, wait, which are harder to explain, or which are harder if you talk to somebody who's not familiar with Torah and you try to explain to, right, where are you going to get more pushback from chukim or from mishpatim? Example of chukim being perhaps issues of arayos and things like that, right? Sorry. And then which category do arayos fall into, right? So are you going to issue of chukim or issue of mishpatim?
Hey,
so
today.
Oh, very good. So he says, and this is amazing. It's amazing that he wrote this 50 years ago. You'll listen to what he says. So he says, when it comes to mishpatim, so your immediate action is, well, mishpatim are, well, because they make sense, right? That's why they're called mishpatim. And chukim are the ones that don't make sense. So therefore, it's a lot, obviously going to be a lot harder to explain somebody chukim than it is to explain to them mishpatim. He says, but human nature is completely the opposite. When it comes to chukim, when it comes to things that we're not really holding and why exactly the reason is, so we're trying to figure out what does Hashem want? I don't know. What is the mitzvah? And even, you know, dealing with people that aren't religious, when they decide that they want to do a mitzvah, right? They're not coming to you and saying, oh, "Come on, why does a lulav have to be that long? It could be shorter, right? That could be good too, right?" They're not trying to make any type of compromises when it comes to chukim. But when it comes to mishpatim, Rav Soloveitchik says that is where people start getting into the people start pushing back a lot more, even though they are mishpatim, because they think they understand the reason, and then they push back and say, "Well, why would it apply to that?" And we think, he says, "I'll give you the three cardinal sins." Right? When it comes to Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shefichas Damim, all three of them receive pushback today, right? When it comes to Avodah Zarah, so where exactly are the lines of what you're allowed to do with other religions, not allowed to do with other religions? Like, really, come on, they're good people, why are we, right? So that's one issue, of keeping a separation between Avodah Zarah and regular things. And then when it comes to Shefichas Damim, so Shefichas Damim, obviously you're not allowed to kill people. He says, yeah, but what about abortion? What about at the end of someone's life, Dr. Kevorkian, euthanasia, right? What about euthanasia, right? So you see, people are chipping away at these things that we would otherwise would assume are obvious mishpatim. And then when it comes to Gilui Arayos as well, so Gilui Arayos are, obviously they're considered to be immoral activities. So yeah, but everybody's pushing back on those too. And this is written 50 years ago. All right, Ad Yom Hazeh, right? Pride Month, right? Ahad Yom Hazeh, right? People are still pushing and cutting away at the edges more and more and more and more, and we find ourselves having to defend the Torah even more, not necessarily as mishpatim, but those halachos, the things that were obviously mishpatim, have now turned into chukim, and that we sort of have to push ourselves and hold the line on these issues, even though people seem to understand the reasons for them, or attempt to say that they understand the reasons for them, we still have to push back on them. So as we learn the issues of Yehoreg Valyavar, we have to, you know, strengthen ourselves even in these mitzvos, to say, oh, I'm going around murdering people, I'm going around violating Gilui Arayos. So these things perhaps today, the Zman said, need specific strengthening in order to make sure that we're able to stand up to the challenges that are brought today. All right, Neshakaya, thank you for the opportunity. And Shavua Tov.
New York Times.
You did stop recording?
I did not. You.
From why you emailed it.
She's smart. Recording stopped.
Oh, there you go. Sam did it. Thank you so much. It was...